The Hoosier Ag Today podcast is on. Thanks for downloading and listening on Thursday, the 11th of June, 2026. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller check in with Hat News, including an emerging soybean disease in the Midwest that requires growers to be more vigilant when scouting. And what did the president say about renewing USMCA? Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has more warm, muggy weather, but an end is in sight. And the Wednesday corn, bean, and wheat markets higher, led by bean futures. We'll have settlements and Tom Fritz market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local community. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
No one knows exactly what the future holds. Weather, yields, markets, hybrids. They all have and do change. And while we can't know the future, we certainly can prepare to make the most of it. So the Fendt Ideal Combine is designed to maximize your performance across farming conditions. With tremendous harvesting capacity, unmatched unloading speed, and the quiet and comfortable cab with an optional joystick control so you can put in those long hours safely and comfortably, the Fendt Ideal Combine is designed to make the most of every opportunity and give you the edge no matter what Mother Nature throws your way. Come experience the Fendt Ideal Combine for yourself at Plevna Implement in Kokomo, Napanee, Auburn, and Rensselaer. The future may be unpredictable, but your farm's success shouldn't be. Until the harvest is perfect, make your combine ideal.
Why President Trump may be walking away from USMCA and emerging diseases impacting Indiana soybeans. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. A major trade agreement that underpins billions of dollars in U.S. farm exports could be headed for a showdown. President Trump has expressed deep reluctance to renew the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, raising fresh concerns for farmers who depend on trade with our North American neighbors.
Well, I'm not looking to renew it. I made the deal, and the primary reason I made the deal is that NAFTA was the worst trade deal I've ever seen.
The USMCA replaced NAFTA in 2020 and currently supports $2 trillion a year in trade. However, Trump dismissed America's economic dependence on its closest neighbors, citing rising trade deficits.
I don't know that I'm going to renew it because, to be honest with you, the United States does much better. Hey, we don't need anything that Canada has. We don't need anything that Mexico has, but they need everything that we have.
Canada and Mexico purchase roughly one-third of all U.S. ag exports, bringing in nearly $60 billion a year. Despite the friction, President Trump says he remains in contact with leaders from Canada and Mexico.
And they have to treat us better. You know, with Mexico and Canada, we have trade deficits. We should have surpluses with them. We don't need their cars. We don't need their lumber. We don't need their energy. We don't need anything that they have.
Read the full story. It's at HoosierAgToday.com.
Looking for heavy equipment but don't know where to buy? Purple Wave Auction has you covered. Always online and always no reserve. It's your destination for construction or ag equipment ready to work. We even sell semis, trailers, and fleet equipment for your operation. Best part? It's free to join. Head to purplewave.com. That's purplewave.com. Sign up for a free account and start bidding today. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
An emerging soybean disease across the Midwest is requiring growers to be more vigilant when scouting. Eric Pfeiffer has the details from Purdue's top field crop pathologist.
Red crown rot is here. I mean, we found it. We've documented 15 or 17 counties. I think we've now confirmed it in.
Dr. Darcy Talenko says, unfortunately, there's nothing that can be done about red crown rot for your soybeans this year. Seed treatment would have been the deterrent, but it's still important to scout and know if it's in your field. Flinko says that's easier said than done.
The problem is it mimics three other diseases. It has the same foliar symptomology as our Sundess syndrome, SDS. It could also mimic brown stem rot. So it's important, you know, when that time frame comes, so end of July or early August, and you start seeing those little areas that are turning yellow, yep. A crop is not maturing there. There's something going on, and get out and look at it. Maybe you diagnosed SDS 10 years ago and it came back to the end, but go out, and that's my big push. Go out and check to make sure it still is and hasn't changed to something else.
If you suspect red crown rot, a sample can be sent to Purdue for confirmation. The cost for that sample is covered by the Indiana Soybean Alliance. Information on how to do that can be found at IndianaFieldCropPathology.com. Once red crown rot is confirmed, Talinko says you'll want to harvest that field last to reduce the spread of the fungus to a new field.
We do have some research going on to try to see what the combines are moving. Mm-hmm. And so where is the pathogen surviving? Is it in the soil? Is it in the stubble? Is it in the debris? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we blowing it out of the back of the combine in the dust? And so we've been running some pretty interesting trials this last year. I followed some fields. So we'll be looking for that again.
Learn more about red crown rot from Talinko and soybean Sean Castile in the Purdue Crop Chat. Watch on our Facebook page and listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
No two farms are the same, but something every farmer can agree on is that the land is so much more than just a farm. It's their livelihood, their lifestyle, and their legacy. That's something you don't have to explain to a farmer-owned lender. Learn how working with a farmer-owned lender can get you a farm real estate loan designed for your unique operations needs at fcma.com/real estate. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, setting up with another very warm, very muggy day for your Thursday. However, the end is in sight. It may be a brief end, it may be a short-term end, but that end is in sight. Let's talk through what we've got going on. Yesterday, I think we have to review what happened yesterday because it sets the stage for today. Big time shower and thunderstorm outbreak across the upper Midwest, down through Iowa, northern parts of Missouri, and into Illinois. Some of that action tried to move towards us, but seemed to run out of gas as it approached the Indiana-Illinois line. The biggest action yesterday was in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Today, that activity does get here. We've got a refiring of thunderstorms this afternoon slated to happen over Iowa. And once it pops up, it's going to rip east and north. Now, good news for us, I do believe the strong to severe weather, or at least the most strong weather, is going to stay well north. Coming out of Wisconsin and into Michigan, we do expect a round of ripping thunderstorms in the Great Lakes region. So I think more garden variety stuff here, but we will get wet, particularly as we move through this afternoon and evening. I think we're looking at anywhere from another quarter to 1 inch. Higher totals are possible if thunderstorms do reach stronger levels, but I do think that threat is a little farther north. We clear out behind this. Honestly, it looks like a frontal boundary kind of situation developing here. We're not seeing a big or stark change in air mass on temperatures, but I do think we see a stark change on moisture content and dew point. So much more comfortable for Friday with a mix of clouds and sunshine. Saturday as well looks pretty doggone nice with pleasant temperatures and low humidity. Frontal boundary comes back overnight Saturday night into Sunday, quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain and thunderstorm action over about 90% of the Hoosier State there. Behind that, we dry down Sunday afternoon, and we stay pleasant for Monday and Tuesday of next week. Starting next Wednesday, scattered showers are back, and we hit this hit-and-miss kind of setup all the way through the end of the week. And the weekend of the 21st and 22nd, or I should say the 20th and 21st, going into the week of the 22nd, we're also seeing on again, off again moisture, but we're seeing the setup be more central and south. So the Great Lakes region starts to dry out, and we have this moisture running on a very active track from the Dakotas through Iowa, through Illinois, and then central southern Indiana, central Ohio. That seems to be the active precipitation track as we finish out the weekend and start the week of the 22nd. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mostly higher markets, finally a gain for the day in soybeans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian to Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. And And we'll check in with the final numbers coming up. First, we check in with Tom Fritz of EFG Group for market analysis. I spoke with Tom at the end of the session. Tom, after quite a number of losing sessions in a row, we see a turnaround in the soybean futures market. It goes higher. That market seemed to get help from higher soy meal and oil. Crude oil was sharply higher. Did that also provide an assist?
Oh, I think maybe initially it might have been, but the price action in the crude oil is almost muted versus what we saw, say, a month and a half ago. The two countries are still, the U.S. and Iran are still going at it, but we're not seeing the violent reactions that we saw, back in early March or so. So I get the impression that ships are moving through the straits. These guys are just throwing shelling at one another. So I really don't think it had that much impact. I sat here all day trying to figure out what's going on with the soybean market. Yeah, meal was a little bit better, couldn't hold it. Bean oil, yeah, it's up snappy 35, 40 points, which is not a big deal. So, why are beans doing what they're doing? So after I finally get a look at the midday Gulf basis, bids are noticeably higher. This is me. This is my opinion, but I'm smelling some soybean business out there. And so, with that, are the Chinese finally starting to move? Well, that remains to be seen. Tomorrow we've got a supply-demand report coming out. Not much is expected out of that report, whether it's old crop or new crop. It's too early to start fooling around with new crop demand. The USDA will not make any changes to production. I'm looking around. What's going on with the bean market? So I look at the cash market. Interior cash market, it's always firm, it seems, especially from the processor. But couldn't help but notice the Gulf basis at its midday posting saw a noticeable improvement. So smells like business, and we can, guesstimate, is it Chinese or not? Well, that remains to be seen. Corn market, it got off to a nice little start this morning, but, couldn't hold it. I get the impression that maybe the liquidation's not quite over with from the speculative sector, from the managed money sector. So not much is expected from the USDA report tomorrow. The bigger reports for the grain market for soybeans and corn is going to be at the end of the month when we look at quarterly stocks and acreage updates. I think the corn market's trying to stabilize, but that's the best I can see right now is stabilize. Couldn't help but notice de-scoring the high, 451.5 was the high the other day. We take that out on a closing basis. Maybe we've got something going on here, but not sure what's going to prompt it other than business. Weather looks too good. So the wheat market, I think it's basically some short covering in anticipation of a friendly wheat report. But there, too, market rallies early, can't hold it. So I have to think that the big specs manage money. They're going back to being short wheat like they were for the last couple of years prior to earlier this spring. And even then, they covered all their shorts, but they really never established much of a long position. So I just have to think these guys are putting their shorts back on. Tomorrow we're going to get a wheat production update for winter wheat. And, trade guesses are looking for just minimal declines. So with that said, we factored in the size of our crop, and I think it's quite apparent we don't have much business for it. So in that regard, we look around, why don't we have much business? Well, our competition has great crops. Russia's got a good crop, 90 million plus. I hear the European Union crop is bigger than what the USDA has been alluding to. So, the competition's got good crops. We don't. They're going to get the demand, not us. So bottom line, I'm just looking past stabilization in the Board of Trade sector.
Tom Fritz at EFG Group. On the Hat Wednesday Farm Market Review, mixed and quiet in corn, with July going down a half penny at the end of trade, 419. September up a quarter, 427 and three quarters. Dease contract up a penny and a half, 446 and three quarters. Corn, though, well off the lows. Same for beans, but July at 1123 ends up 9 1/4. August beans, 9 cents higher, 1127 3/4, and Novi 1138 1/2, up 6 1/2. July wheat 587 1/2, a gain of 2 1/4. August live cattle 241.50, that was up $1.80 on Wednesday, and July lean hogs 96.85, 70 cents higher. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.